We're going to ask Robert Brand from San Diego to invoke the Lord's blessing upon this service.
Our loving Father in heaven, we bow before you, before your throne of grace at this time, thankful for the many blessings of this convention, for the services from the platform, for the fellowship. And it is our prayer, dear Lord, that these services have been pleasing in your sight and also edifying one to another. And we now turn to you for a further blessing upon this poignant service before us, as we remember the life of Sister Vanetta Simon. We are so thankful for her participation in our fellowship, her contribution to the body of Christ. And we do indeed rejoice in the prospect before all of us, that prospect of eternal, of everlasting life. And we rejoice also in the realization that each departed one's next reality will be wonderful, and it will be forever. So again, we ask your blessing upon this service, and we ask for these favors in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Dick and Vanetta, for some period in their life, were down in San Diego, and they met with the San Diego Bible students in that city, then moved to Southern California and were a part of the Los Angeles Bible students. And under normal circumstances, we would be meeting all together, Dick, Vanetta, and their friends here. This is the final session of a three-day conference that is held every Memorial Day by the Los Angeles Bible Student Church. Dick and Vanetta had three boys. They're here. One girl, Lynette. Lynette was here for 2 weeks, and during the time that she was here, she scanned old photographs and put them all together in a slideshow. And then somebody put their hand on it and edited, and you are now going to see some of the slides of Vanetta and family from shortly after she was born. And all we have to do is make it go. We have prints of the 2002 picture of Dick and Vanetta, and we're going to pass them out. I think we have enough so that everybody can have one. There is no memorial folder or anything that you may often see, but I think we have enough for everybody. Now, a friend of the family from San Diego is David Rice, and we have asked David Rice to chair this, because this is going to be a meeting where you all will have the opportunity to reminisce, share memories, and remember Vanetta. So we now turn the program over to David.
Thank you, Brother Michael. And as you see on the program, it is a testimony meeting, and it's thematic because we'll be remembering testimonies about Sister Vanetta. But you know, when somebody passes away that you have known for many years, you sometimes learn things about them that you didn't know as many years as you had known them. Now, I saw for the first time on the screen a picture of Sister Vanetta when she was 14 years old. I never saw that before, but I did learn that when she was 14 years old, there was a milestone in her life. Now, you friends that have known her for many years know that at the heart and soul of Sister Vanetta was her deep faith. And this wasn't acquired in recent years. This has been a lifelong enterprise. It was at the age of 14 that, having been raised by Christian parents in a godly home with an understanding of God's plan, that she decided to make her personal commitment to that enterprise. She consecrated her life, and she was baptized in New York. Was it perhaps at a Labor Day convention in New York at the age of about 14? And I know that sometimes when brethren or sisters consecrate early in life, little question. Well, now, will they maintain that decision? Well, I know of maybe half a dozen people that were close to me that did consecrate their life very early. She's one of them. And I know that with those that I know of, they maintained that decision devotedly for the remainder of their life, as did Sister Vanetta. Now, we're going to read something that you often hear at a service that remembers somebody who has passed. This is from a passage in Ecclesiastes. I'm going to read it from the Lamsa translation, which is a translation that does very good at bringing the meaning of old Semitic languages into modern understanding. This is from Ecclesiastes 12, starting with verse 1. The first verse, you will remember, it's a very famous verse. Remember now your Creator in the days of your youth, before the evil days come and the years draw nigh, when you shall say, I have no pleasure in them. Now that's what Vanetta did. She remembered her Creator in the days when she was young. And the days wherein you say there's no pleasure. Well, you know, in her last 4 or so years, you all know that knew her, you know that you saw a little trembling, a little weakness of the flesh. And you saw her patiently endure that until the time when her troubles ended. We have in this passage kind of a remembrance that that's what happens in our elderly years. Before life ebbs, and beauty fades, and fortune fails, and poverty returns after prosperity. In the day when the legs tremble, and the arms weaken, and the teeth chew no more because they are few and the eyes are dimmed, and the ears shall be dulled so that the sound of women grinding at the mill is low, and a man shall rise up at the song of birds, and the sound of women singing shall be low. He will be afraid of that which is high and tremble in his ways. Sleeplessness shall come upon him. The almond tree shall blossom. Is that maybe the white hair that blossoms in our senior years? The locust shall be multiplied. The fragrance shall scatter. Because man goes to the house of his reward, and the mourners walk about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is cut off, and the golden bowl is broken, and the pitcher is broken at the fountain, or the wheel is broken at the cistern. All interesting metaphors that speak about the end of our earthly journey. Verse 7, then the dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit of life shall return to God who gave it. Now it's been a big curiosity in the minds of many people, what happens next in the experience of a person? Now, recently I was at a service in which a young man passed away, and you know, he had a favorite poem of his, and when it was brought to our attention, we had that read at the service. I don't have a favorite poem, so I thought that was unique. In the same way, most of the people of this world may be in wonderment about what happens when you die. Not long ago, a celebrity passed away, and I noticed they showed a little clipping of his remarks about death. And he says, I wonder what it will be like when I close my eyes. And I think much of the world is kind of like that. But not Sister Vanetta. Sister Vanetta knew what to expect after death. She knew what God's plan was. Now, all of you who have known her many years well, you know exactly what she believed, because it was fundamental to her faith. Some of you that are visiting that knew her as a neighbor, as a friend, maybe you don't know all the particulars, and we'll highlight some of those for you. Genesis 28:14 is a scripture that many people know that she treasured. It was a promise given way back to the patriarchs of the Old Testament, and in this particular occasion repeated to Jacob. It says, in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And Sister Vanetta took that promise to heart, and she thought, she knew, because the scriptures say that, that this refers to the fact that God is going to take every man, woman, and child who has ever lived and give them an opportunity for life under better circumstances to come to know all about what God really is. That is, as John said, God is love. Because having given his Son to redeem them, he will then give them life again and give them blessings. Sister Vanetta knew that and looked forward to it, but she also knew that when Paul said that seed of Abraham that would bless all nations would be Christ, that he also said, if you be Christ's, then are you Abraham's seed, and you're part of that. And so Sister Vanetta embraced that. When she was at the tender age of 14, she said, I would like to be part of that seed of blessing that will not only witness, but actually effect and bring to pass with our Lord the blessing of every man, woman, and child who has ever lived. Now, there's some requirements for that, of course. You don't just say, I'll do that, and then be whisked away to that post. There has to be a lifetime of Christian development, of character development, so that they are fitted, like Christ, to be glorified so that they can then bless the world. And that, of course, is what Sister Vanetta worked for her lifetime of 62 years of consecrated, devoted living. Now, we'll have other things to say about Sister Vanetta, but this is a testimony meeting. This is for you to share your memories and your recollections of Sister Vanetta. So we're going to open the meeting to you now to participate in that. Who would like to express themselves in remembrance of Sister Vanetta? We do have two people who are assigned to two brethren with microphones, so they'll come to you when you raise your hand.
Vanetta Simon has been my sister-in-law for almost 55 years. Her marriage to Dick, my brother, was November 26, 1955. It was held at our parents, Charles and Helen Simon's home in Lakewood, California. Vanetta made her own wedding dress of Chantilly lace. It was just beautiful. She was a lovely bride, and the backyard was decorated with flowers, and the patio was the altar. Several relatives and lots of her church friends showed up for the ceremony and reception lunch, which was held immediately after the ceremony in my parents' living room. It was made into a dining room. Dick had already purchased a small home a few months before for their honeymoon cottage. It was just a block or two away from Mom and Dad's home on Hackett Street in Lakewood. It was well stocked with everything that they needed for a week or two. The wedding reception lasted long hours into the evening. Everyone was having a great time, so no one really wanted to leave, including the bride and groom. Eventually, they did take off for their new home. Mom and Dad asked everyone to return the next day to finish off all the food and to help get the house and backyard back to order. So the next day, about 25 showed up to clean up the yard and have the last of all of the food which was left. Around 2 in the afternoon, everyone was all ready for the meal. The house and yard were now back in order, and the meal would end this two-day happy occasion. The doorbell rang, and we wondered who could this be since all the relatives and friends were already here. Guess who? Dick and Vanetta, dressed in sheets. They just said that they had heard somebody was serving food and they were starving. So in they came, and we all had a wonderful meal. We laughed hard and welcomed them in, and this was the beginning of their new life together. They welcomed 4 children over the years. For each birthday, we gathered at their home, our home, my brother Chuck's home, or Mom and Dad's home, depending on whose birthday it was. As the years passed, we had several of these memorable occasions. One that I remember because it was definitely unusual. Dick and the family lived in El Conejo, California, by San Diego. They owned a small little 1-acre farm. It was filled with fruit trees and every kind of vegetable garden known. They had 2 horses. They had lost my place. they had a flock of chickens. Oh, and they had goats for milk and cheese. And they loved it. By the second year, Vanetta had canned all of the produce they had into jams, jellies, fruits, vegetables, and what all. Vanetta couldn't use it all, so anybody who wanted the surplus could come and get it. Now they were slaves to the house. They couldn't get away for a day or two. They had to get rid of the horses. The boys didn't like this, so Dick built in a pool for their enjoyment. Then they decided no more goat milk, no more cheese. Then little at a time, the chickens began to go. And Vanetta decided to invite all of us, Mom and Dad and us and all the kids, for a big chicken dinner to kind of celebrate their newfound freedom. Our boys went up earlier to be with Scott, Eric, and Vanetta. She had so many eggs, she decided to scramble them for breakfast. But for some reason, she decided to bake the beaten eggs instead of fry them. It turned into a mess. The eggs just wouldn't cook up like scrambled eggs. So she turned up the heat and let them cook and cook and cook. They looked like little rubber squares on the plate. And the boys said they tasted like rubber, too. Unfortunately, nothing could make them taste like eggs again. So the boys smothered them with ketchup and every known substance and preceded them, and they just had a good time, so it was okay. By this time, Vanetta had already started to bake the chickens. And as the family arrived, we helped with the fresh vegetables and salad. But we had a problem. The chickens were harder than a rock. Vanetta was beside herself, thinking how to make this chicken tender. Mom suggested a pressure cooker. So after 15 or 20 minutes, the chicken was stringy and not chewable at all. Dick said the chickens were a couple years old, and you don't get tender legs and thighs from chickens that old. So we had a good laugh about it, and we ate all the vegetables that she had and everything else that was there. It's these little incidents that make our lives memorable and enjoyable. Vanetta was the best housewife anyone could ask for. She sewed. She gardened. She made her dinners from scratch, not TV dinners. She made breads and cakes. She would actually grind her own flour. Her mother had gifted her with a flour mill years earlier. Vanetta was the best mom to her kids, and of course, the best wife Dick could ever ask for. Vanetta was an accomplished pianist, and both of religious songs and classical music. She had a singing voice like a nightingale. She would hit those high notes with no effort at all. Not too long ago, I sent her by email the YouTube version of Susan Boyle from Britain's Got Talent. She was just overwhelmed by it and wrote back and said, "Now that woman has real talent." We all agreed. Vanetta, you are irreplaceable in so many ways, but mostly in our hearts. You will be dearly missed by all of us who knew you.
Well, thank you. What a nice recollection of the small incidents of life that we remember that kind of make up our image and our appreciation of a person. Thank you very much. Who would be next?
Hello. For those who don't know me, I'm Timothy Simon, Dick's younger brother by about 13 years. In my later childhood, Dick was more than a brother. He was a buddy, the kind of buddy that you did things with, like ice skating and hiking and horseback riding. That all seemed to be threatened to come to an end when a girl named Vanetta came into his own life. I just didn't get it. He wanted to do more things with her than with me. But as I got to know Vanetta, I found out she liked to do the same things, too. I was very lucky that they included me into their activities, which were hiking and fishing and camping. I appreciated that. I remember in the weeks prior to the wedding that my dad had a major backyard project going on. He was building a fountain with a waterfall. And it appeared it wasn't going to be finished by the time of the wedding. So Vanetta volunteered to come down after work on Fridays and help with the masonry and get back. I think visiting Dick might have had something to do with that also. But I remember one Saturday afternoon, things were moving a little slowly on the project, and Vanetta decided that it was taking too much time to walk around the fence in the backyard. So she decided to vault it like a gymnast. Well, most of her made it over the fence, except for her knees. So here her knees were all bloody, scraped up, and Mom came out, and she was furious at my dad, because it was his fault, of course, that she was helping with the fountain at all. And so here she says, oh, good, here's a bride coming down the aisle with bandaged knees. Vanetta did decide to start walking around the fence again, so that was a good part. Vanetta has finally shed the afflictions that this life can burden us with. Vanetta loved and was loved. She will be remembered, and she will be missed.
Thank you, Timothy, for your reflections and your remembrances of some engaging details that kind of showed her spunk and character. That's the way I remember her, with a great deal of vitality. Russell?
Hello, everybody. It's been a little overwhelming for me to see so many friends that I haven't seen in years. And I realize how much of a family we all are, even though it's been well over 20 years for me to see some of you people. Times have changed, but I'm grateful to be here and to see everybody again and to be remembered. I have a couple memories of Mom here that I'd like to share. Mom will be missed. She bore me. She held me close. She comforted me and was always there to guide me with a hug, a thought, a word, and the scripture. How do I sum up Mom's life? I cannot. But I can share some of my observations. Mom lived a vigorous life, a life that touched so many with love, caring, and directness. She was never one to mince words, but was always genuine in her love and interest in you. Many of you knew her all your lives as well, and know that I speak the truth. She was not one to let the Word of God be stifled by short or singular views of the Bible. She was one to read the Bible and ponder it, pulling the kernels of truth out as God showed her. To Mom, all of God's Word was a precious jewel, there to be a beacon to mankind, showing everyone the way to salvation. Indeed, a joyful thing, not a somber thing. She was a person who not only held her beliefs, but lived her beliefs. She was always there to help out when help was needed, and she never, ever gave up on you. She and Dad always made you welcome in their home, and when you were there, you felt the warmth of the love that was there. Yeah, she'll be missed by us, but we can know that we will see her again in the resurrection. For now, I take comfort in knowing that she didn't suffer in the end. Her trials are over, and she's completed her course and is now in our Lord's care. I do miss her, and I can just barely comprehend the hole she's left in my life. I can only look forward to the joy it will be to see all of our families and all of our brethren in the coming kingdom of God. Looking forward to when the family of mankind will finally be subdued, not by men, but by righteousness under God. when the entire world's suffering will end, living with perfect minds and bodies as equals in perfect harmony, no wants, no needs, no greed, no oppression, and no selfishness, where everyone will treat each other as they want to be treated, and love one another as we love ourselves, loving God above all else. What a wonderful promise we have from God.
Russell, thank you for your remembrance of her hopes and the confidence that you express also in that wonderful outcome. You know, at a time when we remember the loss of a loved one, we get to see some family members that we have not seen in so long. And it's delightful to see you, your family, and to hear your very gracious expressions about the hope that we have for the world. Thank you. Who would be next?
Hi, I'm Ann Marukian, and Dick and Vanetta are our neighbors. And it's very embarrassing to be their neighbors because their house is always clean, and Dick keeps the lawn so perfect, and he trims his bushes. I swear he uses nail scissors. It looks so perfect. And if he shares his produce with you, it's like a work of art. You know, the cauliflower is just like perfect, and it's so embarrassing. But despite that, despite, you know, how wonderfully they live and how wonderful they are as neighbors, they have always been so kind to us. The first day that we met Vanetta, our dog bit her.
Oh.
Because she boldly walked into the backyard thinking, oh, anybody has a dog in the backyard, must be nice. He wasn't. He bit her ankle and she just ignored him. She said, "What are you doing?" So, and she never held it against us. She was always so sweet to us. And she taught our children piano, and she was always so free to give of herself to us, and we were so blessed by it. And one thing she said to me, I think the first time I met her in front of our house, she said, "A neighbor close by is better than a brother far away." And she was better than a brother, even close by, probably. She was such a treasure to us, and we will miss her a lot. And we're still thankful that we have Dick to shame us with his fabulous yard. So, Jay, did you want
to? I'm the other part of that neighbor next door. Our neighborhood is going to miss her smile, her kindness, her laughter. She was a gem, and we appreciated that every day. We didn't run across each other every day, but just waves and whatnot. What a joy she was. Still in our hearts.
Thank you. What a nice testimony from neighbors. That's you know, Paul talks about those that have a good reputation from without as they let their Christian faith express itself in kindness to others. And I'm just so delighted to hear that testimony from you both. Thank you. Who would be next?
Hi, thank you all for coming. I'm Vanetta's daughter-in-law, and I've known Vanetta since I was with Eric when I was 19. So she's technically a mother to me. And when I was trying to think of words to say today, I just kept talking to her. And these last couple weeks, I've really had, in moments of silence to myself, and my daughter, Sydney, have really had a hard time because she was so much a part of our lives. And the words that came to me were basically talking to Vanetta and praying to God about her. So I wrote her a letter, and I'd like to share with you. Dear Mother Vanetta, I didn't have time to say goodbye. I held your hand and was there by your side when you took your last breath. You fought so hard, and I knew you found peace. You're with God now. He will keep you in the kingdom until we meet again. I want to thank you for all the lives you have touched with our wisdom, with your wisdom, your support, your innocence. You're a pure, kind, and the most generous person I know. Thank you for being a wonderful grandmother to our children, teaching them how to play piano and spending hours helping with projects and homework. Most of all, teaching God's word and giving moral support through the years. I will miss you dearly, Mom, especially alone and in quiet moments when I think of you. Yes, you will be missed. God bless Lee. God bless you. Love, your daughter-in-law, Stephanie.
Thank you, Stephanie. What a lovely tribute. You know, sometimes a mother-in-law is somebody you endure. But in your case, a mother-in-law is somebody you loved. And that's a tribute, I think, to both of you. But it tells us something about the kind of disposition she exhibited, even in her close family. Now, Sydney, I couldn't help but observe your response and your reaction to your mother's sweet testimony. And I know that you've exhibited that kind of response on other occasions, too. And I know you were close to your grandmother. Do you have anything you'd just like to say, just a word or two, just of remembrance?
Vanetta was my grandma, and she taught me so many hobbies. She even taught me how to play piano. And it wasn't her hands that kept her going, not even her body. It was her heart, and that's what made her so special.
You know, Sydney, Vanetta sometimes had a nice way of expressing herself. She was very eloquent. I see that in her granddaughter, and I thank you for your lovely tribute. I didn't know she taught you to play the piano, but I had some emails that came to me that I thought I might read about your grandmother, and one of them was very brief. It was from Sister Marilyn Burns, who many of you folks will know because she was in the class here, and it was very brief. I love Sister Vanetta and remember her so well, and also her great piano playing. So what you remembered and what she passed on to you was a remembrance of her as well. Who would be next?
Back here.
Brother Ed?
Yes. Brother Mark.
Brother Mark Davis, I just want to say I appreciated what Russ had to say about what his mom and dad taught him about a future hope of the coming kingdom. And those are certainly special promises that I know Vanetta and Dick keep close to their heart and have passed it on to their children. And, you know, I probably knew Vanetta maybe longer than many of you knew her. Because I remember growing up in Garden Grove, and just a few blocks away, the Simons' home was, and Russ and Eric and the family were all there. So I remember as a young child going to their home and having playtime over there as a young child. So and then I know later on the family moved down to San Diego, but then we find Vanette and Dick back in our congregation here up in Los Angeles, and we are indeed going to miss Sister Vanetta very much because, as someone pointed out, she was like a stalwart, or she was the tie that binds, or that glue that it was so precious seeing her to come to meetings. I really enjoyed her fellowship so much, from in her smile from Sunday to Sunday as we saw her later in her life. That was special because you could always count on her to say something positive. That was the way she led her life. And I remember she came up to me about, I'd say 6 or 7 years ago, and was mentioned that she taught her grandchildren how to play the piano. And I know she loved to play the piano. If she was here today and if she was capable, she would have loved to play the piano at the convention, which she did for so many years. But about 6 or 7 years ago, I remember her coming up to me and say, "Mark, when my ailment that I have, I just don't feel comfortable playing the piano at the convention." And it wasn't because she was concerned about how others would feel about her, but she was concerned about the brethren that she didn't want to have her ailments affect the music at that time. So she was always thinking about others. So I'd leave that with you. We have such wonderful memories of her, and it was a blessing to know her. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Appreciate your remembrances of her. Do we have another? There will be others, but then if we have a little pause, let me just read another remembrance. This is from Sister Sherelle Hagensick. Now, by the way, you know, at this convention 2 years ago, we enjoyed a memorial service for Brother Carl. Seems so quick. 2 years have gone by so quick, and now here another one for Sister Vanetta. But this was from the time that Vanetta and Dick lived in the San Diego area. But even though they were near me, I didn't know this experience at the time. I shared it with Brother Richard, and he remembers it well. From Sister Sherelle Hagensick, I appreciated so much the little things which are the essence of a person, her faith, her enthusiastic participation in studies, her capability, quickness of mind and smile, and her hospitality. Having enjoyed that hospitality in a big way when I was in my early 20s, those words brought a warm feeling of affection to my memories of her. I was younger then, and not so wise. I bought a Trans Am, totally impractical but very impressive, and took pleasure in letting the young brothers drive it. Now, you may remember that Trans Am. I do. And Carl remembered that. It was rather surprising to him, but he smiled at it. He says, they did. They drove it, and they broke it. It was Brother Richard Simon who sacrificed an entire Saturday to fix that old car, while Sister Vanetta brought me into her kitchen where she worked, and I talked. That afternoon of encouragement had a definite effect on my perspective of what it meant to be a Christian. I thought of her through the years and always with the best of feelings. These two sisters, Nanette and Vanetta, went out of their way to encourage me in the truth, as well as in Christian living. I will never forget their kindness toward me. It sounds strange to say, but I enjoyed reading the eulogy. But I did, for the words brought back beautiful memories of a person that I've appreciated so long. And in those little difficulties of life, when somebody expresses what they're all about by giving a helping hand to a person in need, and then directing them in the right way and giving a good influence, those are the things we remember well about people that really tell us what was in their heart. Now, do we have somebody else to contribute a testimony? I think we did over here. Brother Jim?
I'll try to be succinct, but when first I came out to the West Coast, it was 1959, it was a job in San Francisco, and it was her folks that put me up during the entire summer. And so I got to know her sister and her two brothers before ever I met her, but she was worth waiting to meet. And what I remember most is that any time I saw her, she was there to encourage, no evil speaking, but just encouraging. And also, she tolerated me with my last name.
Well, she got very familiar with that name, didn't she? Yes. Thank you, Brother Jim. Who would be next in a remembrance of Sister Vanetta? Brother Mark?
If I might chime in here briefly, I just want to say that I received a double blessing from the Simon family. Not only was I privileged to be a fellow Christian with Sister Vanetta in her belief and in looking forward to this wonderful kingdom that lies before us, but also a friend of the family. Russ and I are similar in age, and we befriended each other probably about 40 years ago, I'm going to guess, and was always impressed. I was invited to spend time in their household quite frequently. During conventions in San Diego, I would be invited and be with their family. And there was such a warmth there that I will never forget that, and Sister Vanetta. And it was just a feeling in a household. And it is usually the mom that kind of sets the ambiance there. And I was kind of taken by that as a young boy, how wonderful this family was and how well they got along and what love there was amongst them all. And I really appreciated that. It was a wonderful feeling to experience that. Sister Vanetta is an inspiration to me. We know that the last few years of her life, she was severely challenged by illnesses, and I never heard or saw her once allow that to slow her down. She was always smiling and, you know, just excited to be with her fellow brethren and to express her faith to all that she could. And she loved the Lord, and she expressed that in every way. And I hope that I will have the strength that she does if I'm ever in the situation she was in. And I know the Lord has blessed her in that way. And I just wanted to say that my life has been changed by the Simon family, and I really appreciate to them, and I will look forward to telling Sister Vanetta that when I see her at in the kingdom. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Mark. Appreciate your recollections. You know, you mentioned you never remember hearing a complaint from her about her affliction, and I don't either. But I did remark on it from time to time to her, just to see how things were going and to get a little, express a little sympathy. But I never got any word of complaint or discomfort or difficulty back. It was all this trust, thankfulness to endure what the Lord had, and just, you know, a sweet, joyous expression. And that's a very good tribute. I thank you for your remembering of that. You know, in the scriptures, sometimes we're exhorted to be patient. But we have learned in our studies in San Diego on the subject of patience that it really refers not to losing one's patience, but to patiently experiencing the things of life over a long period. And I think that she has exhibited that kind of patient, thoughtful, cheerful endurance, which we treasure so highly. Very nice. Do we have other testimonies today? Brother Tim?
I'm Brother Tim Thomason from Albuquerque. I was just trying to write down some notes so I wouldn't forget, but my memories of Vanetta and the Cadus go way back. First of all, I want to tell you that about a half hour ago, I spoke to Sister Elva Lanowick, who lives in Paradise, California, and some of you know her. In the early 1950s, Vanetta and Nanette worked with Elva and Casimir Lanowick in Redwood City, California. And I remember seeing pictures of Vanetta and Nanette when they were in Redwood City many years ago. Nanette can fill in the details as far as exact years. Obviously, it was before 1955. And then I lived in Northern California in Paradise for many years, and I recall Vanetta and Nanette and George and Betty Cadu coming up to Paradise on occasion, and that goes back to somewhere in the early 50s, too. Later, I moved to Albuquerque, and we were married in 1968, and one of the things I discovered through Sandy and her parents, Rick and Roberta Buss, is that they knew the Cadus in New York before they moved to California. So not only did my family know Vanetta and the Cadus, but Sandy's family and Sandy's grandmother. Sandy's grandmother, Rosebud Hollister, the wife of Horace Hollister, was very close to Vanetta and Nanette's mother, Betty. And then over the years, since Sandy and I were married, and then after Tammy was born, there were just numerous occasions when we met with Vanetta and Dick, both at convention, but I remember their home. Is it El Cajon in San Diego? Okay, we were there. And then later when they moved up to Tustin, I remember once we went to a Mexican restaurant in Tustin with Dick and Vanetta. We were in the area. And then, you know, in recent years, it was mostly at conventions. But probably the most recent memory is when Sandy's father, Rick Buss, started to suffer from Parkinson's disease. And then he and Vanetta sort of struck up a kinship, and she would call him on the telephone and offer comfort and encouragement and support to Sandy's dad. So I have many wonderful memories of Vanetta, and I appreciated her zeal for the Lord, her love for the truth, and for the brethren, whether you agreed with her or not. As some have said here, she, you know, she had her thoughts, and yet she respected the beliefs and differences of others. So we'll miss her greatly.
Thank you, Brother Tim. Appreciate your comments. I didn't know she had that connection with your father. That's very nice to know that. In that mutual experience, they were mutually helpful. Sister Sandy?
My earliest memory of Vanetta is through my mother. My mother went to visit Betty Cadu one time, and they're, you know, they were close. Mm-hmm. I remember this story from a little girl. My mother was met at the train station by Vanetta and Nanette and their red wagon to bring home my mom to their mom, but they were sent to carry my mom's luggage in their wagon. And those are memories, and you know, so it started years ago with a mother that was very giving, too.
Thank you. Thank you for that remembrance. Brother Tim, when I said your father, of course, I meant your father-in-law. Of course, I'm sure you knew. Any further testimonies today about Sister Vanetta? Sister June in the back?
I'm June Pearson. And Vanetta was a very, very dear friend. It's nice to see Dick and Vanetta's children here, sons here, because I knew them and saw them when they were babies, and Vanetta and I would sit in the darkened room at the meetings, most especially over there and during the 4th of July convention. And we became good friends because our children were babies together. So all I could think of in hearing your testimonies today is, oh my, I'm so proud to know that you've grown up to be such wonderful children, because your mother, Dad, were so deserving of this, and for you to come and pay tribute to them. Over the years, we had one experience when we were in Israel together. And Dick and Vanetta were on one bus, and we were on another bus. And it so happened that many of my friends from childhood Sunday school in Detroit were on the bus with them. And afterwards, because they really didn't know Vanetta that well, they came to me and they said, "Oh, I can't tell you what a blessing Vanetta has been to all of us on the bus. I mean, she's always coming with these really neat gifts that she's brought her family. And she's just the happiest person, always with a smile. And she certainly has made this trip such a wonderful blessing for us." And that was Nanette. I don't believe that any of us ever saw her without a smile. And she was always there when any of the brethren needed her. And there again, as so many of you have mentioned, never, ever a complaint. And I was just so very, sometimes you're down at the meeting and you've got other things on your mind, but I was just so glad that the Sunday before her passing that we had coffee at the table with her, and we were able to sit and chat. And it just goes to show that when you really think about a person and being with a person, make sure you do it, because you just don't know whether they're going to be there tomorrow. And of course, as many of you know, I was so privileged to be kind of part of the family when her mother had passed away and my father had passed away. And so their father married my mother. And my mother was 79, and their father was 81, and they had a wonderful marriage for several years. And it was wonderful to have Vanetta and Nanette as friends, and then to be part of the family. And And of course, I can't say enough for George. I mean, he was, to my children, he was their grandfather. And I just am really, really going to miss Vanetta. There just isn't a dearer person that walked on this earth and meant so much to so many. And I thank you for the privilege of being able to tell you how much I loved her.
Thank you, Sister June. Appreciate your testimony. You know, she had just this warm handshake and big smile. So much so big it even crinkled her nose, I always remember noticing. And she's just that kind of a warm person that made you feel genuinely that she was happy to see you. You know, I heard a few things, just incidentals, about her just before her passing, in retrospect. That she had a fairly good day just the day before, as I understand. Richard's nodding yes to affirm this. And yet we don't know just what the next day will bring. And therefore you have to live as in the day, prepared to meet your Lord at any time. Now we have, we're not going to extend this much beyond, but I was given the liberty not to have to close exactly on time. So we're not going to extend it much beyond. If Eric has just one memory to say, we're going to allow that. If Scott has one, and if Nanette has one, then we're going to allow that. But while they're thinking about that, they have something to contribute, they're not required to. Just a few things that I learned that I didn't know, that, you know, it was in 1948, that Labor Day convention where she was baptized. It was 2 years later that she moved to Milwaukee. Now, as many years as I knew, I never knew she lived in Milwaukee. But apparently that was fairly brief. And the next year she moved to Redwood City. And she went there to help. Now, Brother Tim mentioned Casimir and Elva Lanowick. And they had something called News, the Jews in the News. And she went there to assist with their work and their publication, as I understand. About a year later, or maybe 2 years later, Sister Nanette moved out to be with them. And she lived with Nanette for a couple of years while she was a legal secretary. Now, I didn't know she was a legal secretary until you told me. But I do remember her work in San Diego that I kind of link as maybe somewhere in that direction. And her capacities and capabilities certainly jibe with that. And then married 2 years later to Brother Dick. And the rest, as they say, is history. And we've got the fruits of that among us. Now, Brother Michael.
Since you put everybody on notice that you just may not extend this indefinitely, which I told you you could do, I feel duty bound to read to you words that their daughter Lynette wrote. Now, yes. Lynette was here, as I mentioned, for 2 weeks and left about a week ago to return to her home in Huntsville, Alabama. And so she, Lynette, wrote these words that I'm about to read. I want to thank everyone for their kind cards, emails, and telephone calls. There is no doubt that Mom is going to be missed by more than her family. However, you are all family too. And I know this is how she felt as well. I feel extremely blessed to have been gifted with the mom that I have. She has been, and even now still is, a woman from whom I learned about God and what it means to walk by faith. She taught me to be a prayer warrior because that's what she was, and that's what I saw. She taught me that love is a decision that one has to make as they go through life's experiences. And that faith is a muscle that can only be strengthened by walking closely and dependently with my Creator. She taught me joy in affliction and grace second only to my Heavenly Father. She truly was the Proverbs 31 lady. And I thank God for her. I call her blessed. She was to me a witness until the very end. What a legacy. I hope others can say the same thing of me at the end. Lynette.
Thank you, Brother Michael. Well, there's an example that was picked up by her daughter, an example she wishes to replicate. Thank you. Do we have a comment from the back? Brother Scott.
Well, of course, Mom will be greatly missed. She would call often, and we spoke a great deal. And the last 2 years I was preparing myself, realizing that Mom and Dad are getting older, and the time would come when these conversations would no longer be happening. It was a blessing that she passed so quickly and that her suffering was ended. And she left within 24 hours and with her full faculties intact. I saw her the Sunday before, and she was just fine. So that was a blessing, and I nightly thank God for both Mom and Dad and how supportive they've been, and of course I will miss her.
Thank you, Brother Scott. Thank you very much. Eric, did you have a word to add? Okay, move forward here in the front. Eric, yes.
My name is Eric, the youngest son. And again, she's going to be missed. She's left a huge hole in everyone's lives. And I was fortunate to have the greatest mom on earth. I mean, she did what she said, and there was no backsliding on. She was a woman of faith and taught us all to be upright citizens and respectful of everyone always. I just feel so fortunate to have her in my life, and again, she's going to be missed.
Thank you, Eric. You know, you captured it, I think, when you said, a woman of faith, and one that you will appreciate always. Thank you. Nanette, did you have a thought to add?
Because she was my natural sister and my spiritual sister, we had a special bond that many of you are aware of. And I looked up to her. I loved the fact that she could so easily quote scriptures. And I knew it was a result of her love of study and also her love to memorize scripture. She always had 3x5 cards with her current favorite scriptures, either taped to her desk or somewhere in the kitchen. And she even inspired me to also try to memorize scripture. And I remember putting two scriptures on the visor of my car and trying to memorize them as I was driving. And the passengers in my car actually warned me that this would be a very dangerous thing to do and that I should try to memorize them in some other environment. When I was at her house the day, 2 days after she died, sitting at her desk, I called Lynette's attention to the two scriptures that were on 3x5 cards. And one was the Psalm 17:14, that I shall be satisfied when I awake in thy likeness. It's so hard to say it. But I just appreciated the fact that she, first of all, she was a stalwart in our studies because she always was prepared and she made really good comments and she always had the scriptures to support what she was going to say. She didn't believe exactly as some of us would have liked her to have believed. But she was a disciple of Christ. She adamantly showed the things that the Lord wanted us to show. I'm thinking of John 13, 34 and 35, where Jesus gave the command that I give you a command, love one another as I have loved you. And he said, if you love others as I have loved you, the world will know you are my disciples. And that could be said about her. She loved the brethren.
Yeah, that's her testimony. And we know from her conduct that she put those commands into effect. Thank you, Sister Nanette. Now, your comment reminded me of something Brother Bob, who's here with us, but also emailed, said as he was reflecting upon her. She was an active participant in the midweek meeting in Los Angeles that Brother Bob contributes to. Just last Wednesday, she made some excellent comments. Her prayers at the open and close of the meeting were wonderful. And I think anybody who's been in a meeting with her knows her enthusiastic participation and her earnest appreciation of the scripture. Now, I learned a lot from Brother Dick, from Brother Richard. Brother Richard's voice is not always quite up to expressing himself, but it looks like he might be looking for a microphone, so we'll have him.
I don't know whether I can talk or not.
You sound pretty good from here.
But I do want to thank all the friends and neighbors and family for being here, sharing their experiences with my wife of 54 years. We seemed like a very brief time, and it's over.
Yeah.
But all through this experience, we've felt the Lord's presence with us, and how when things were needed to be done, almost before I asked, my prayers were answered. And I do thank you and all the friends and brethren again. Thank you.
Thank you, Brother Richard. Now, your last expression reminds me of a testimony from your son, who told me the same thing, that your appreciation for how the Lord seemed to care for all the issues that might be overwhelming. I appreciate your faith and your remembrance and your thinking that, you know, life does seem short, doesn't it, in retrospect? Just seems like so many things long ago were so fresh in mind. And then the time is up. And for your dear wife, the time is to rejoice in all the joys of the righteous that are before her. Now, Brother Michael, I don't know if you had a hymn selected.
Yes, I do.
Okay. But I'm going to remind you of a hymn that I think applies to her. And I'd like to just read a couple of stanzas of it. It's hymn 197. Victorious faith. Oh, for a faith that will not shrink, though pressed by every foe, that will not tremble on the brink of any earthly woe. And even though she had a tremor of hand, you know, I never noticed a trembling of faith in any of the experiences that closed out her life. That will not murmur nor complain beneath the chastening rod, but in the hour of grief or pain will lean upon its God. A faith that shines more bright and clear when tempests rage without, that when in danger knows no fear, in darkness feels no doubt. A faith that keeps the narrow way till life's last hour is fled, and with a pure and steady ray illumes a dying bed. And I think those words fit her nicely. Now I think we'll draw this to a close, turn the meeting back to Brother Michael, and close with his hymn.
When Lynette put together the slides that you saw on the screen, she ended with words that were familiar to me. Now let our souls, on wings sublime, rise from the trivial cares of time. Draw back the parting veil and see the glories of eternity. I recognize it because it was a hymn in our hymn book. It happens to be hymn 193. At the time that Lynette did it, she credited it to author unknown. But with the beauties of the internet, that quickly got changed, and I put Thomas Gibbons as the author of that, written kind of a long time ago. Verse 2. The joys of time of little worth should not confine our thoughts to earth. Why grasp at transitory toys so near to heaven's eternal joys? Shall aught beguile us on the way, on the road, the narrow way that leads to God, or can we love earth's ties so much as not to long with God to dwell? Lord, we would grasp the joys divine, find present joy in works of thine, and press along the narrow way that leads to realms of endless day. And so we're going to close by singing jointly together hymn 193. And at the conclusion of our singing, we're going to ask David to close with prayer.
Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee for Thy presence among us this past hour, these past days. We thank Thee for the wonderful convention of like precious faith that reminds us of our fellowship with Sister Bonetta. We thank Thee for the memories that linger of her and her faithfulness and her love for Thee and her pleasure to express that love to all those with whom she came in contact. We thank Thee for the wonderful hopes of Thy kingdom that she embraced and that motivated her from early life to give her life and heart in sympathy with that goal and that view and that expectation. We thank Thee that her life now completed leaves a testimony and example for us to follow after and to express that kind of faith without murmur or discontent at whatever experiences shape us for our later inheritance. We thank thee for the expressions of the brethren and the family and the friends on behalf of her sweet and good testimony, and pray that it might linger like a fragrance in our hearts and minds to point forward to our love for thee. We pray for that promised kingdom. We thank thee for all the blessings that await those who have served patiently thy cause. We pray forgiveness for our many shortcomings. We pray that now as we part, our remembrances of her, our fellowship together, and the blessings at this convention might inspire us to walk as she walked and as our Master walked, and to be faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.